April 3, 2024. It's Watt for Pedro Show. Show. Happy Wednesday. Start off with an excerpt from My Favorite Things. November 18, 1961. John Coltrane. Eric Dolphy's along with him here. Then we had Million Face Briar, or Millen. Maybe that I wasn't supposed to be there. For the Children, Ellipse. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Mike. How you pronounce this? Viner? Wiener?
Wiener works, but let's say Wiener. Wiener is how okay. I say it.
It's probably people from Vienna, right? And then Phil Puelo.
Exactly.
Palil. Phil Palil. Did I get that one right? Paleo.
Paleo, yes.
Fuck. My pop said I would fuck up a two-car cracker funeral, so. I hate to be proven that real time, but. Anyway, Michael, Phil. Beautiful. Let's give Howard big credit for the connect. Bring you aboard.
Thank you, Howard.
Phil, we're going to start with you. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest? I guess it was probably dancing to the Beatles when I was 2 years old, 3 years old.
Okay.
Something like that.
Remember, it's a Walk for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. So the pad you grew up in. Was there musical instruments?
Sorry? You cut out for a minute.
No, we can't talk at the same time. You got
okay.
Avast a little bit. In the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
Yes. There was a piano. There was a guitar. There were harmonicas. I guess that's it for conventional.
Did you jump on any of that?
I banged on the piano with my hands like bongos when I was a kid.
Now, I've had people on the show, they almost quit music because of this, but the experience of the piano lessons, did you have to go through that?
Oh, no.
Okay, great.
I did not.
Sometimes it's good, but almost everybody who brings that story to this show, it's a bummer, man.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of fertilizer, so bring it, motherfuckers. What about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
What was the first record you bought with your own money?
Knocked Three Times by the Tony Orlando and
Don. I always wonder what fucking Don did, right? It's like the Hall of Notes thing, right? What does that guy do with the mustache? What about first gig you saw?
My first gig? Meaning what show did I first see ever?
Correct.
Oh, I guess I saw a Who tribute band.
Okay.
I think that was my first.
My first gig was T-Rex, D. Boone. We were 15 years old, 1973, Long Beach Auditorium.
Well, you beat me.
Okay. Like you said, you jumped on some of them instruments, but any of it take hold? Because you end up on fucking drums, right?
Yeah, well, that's because my brother had a garage band, and in the morning when it was, you know, dead quiet, I would go into the garage and tap on the drums, and I just gravitated towards drums. It was easy. No plugging in, no nothing. It's just bang away. And yeah, then my dad made me a drum kit when I was
He made you a kit?
Yeah, we had a snare drum. I guess he found one somewhere. I don't recall where. And then cymbals were little pieces of metal and things like that. And that's how I really started playing, I guess, yeah.
Did you do the lesson thing?
I did for a short period, like over the summer and of like second and third grade. And then the teacher disappeared, and I never looked back.
Okay. And like trying to copy songs off records? I mean, that's the way me and D. Boone did it.
Oh, that's what I did. Headphones and played to
headphones, George Hurley. He got, get this. You know, he was making surfboards. So fuck this. He almost got killed in Hawaii, you know, drowned and shit. So I'm going to teach myself drums. So he gets two records. Happy Jack, The Who, and what's the Billy Cobham, Spectrum. Those two records and some headphones, right? Wow. So if you ever wonder why George Hurley has a trippy style, they started playing with me and D. Boone. Incredible cat. So not graduating school, but in the afternoon, you know, bedroom band, basement, like what your brother was doing. Did you get into that with that kit your pop cobbled together for you?
I did not. I basically hid my drums in the closet for years. I just kind of stopped playing, and then in college I brought them out and took them up to college, and the rest was kind of history after that.
Your first bands were in college?
Yeah, band in college.
Can you remember your first gig?
Yes, we were. We called ourselves the House of Llamas, and we played a birthday party.
Probably mean llamas, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Llamas, yes.
You know, when I was going through the Mojave, we didn't have anything to eat but jalapenos and fried Joels. Finally got to La Jolla. So, anyway, you know, look, I live in fucking Pedro. And we also call the beach Cabrillo, but those are the only two we fucked up. Anyway, how would that gig go? Would you call it a success? House of Llamas?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That's where I started playing with Todd Ashley from Cop Street Cop.
Ah, okay, two bass band.
Yeah.
Was it always two bass?
No. Well, the House of Llamas was totally different. It was just a gag.
Just thinking of Cop Street Cop and, you know, two bass. I'm a little prejudiced towards bass, you know.
Right. It was, at first it was just bass and drums and a sampler player. So it was a three-piece. And then we got another bass player called Nats, or Jack Nance. And then Jim Coleman on the keyboards. So we had, at one time we had two sampler players, two basses, and myself.
So you're telling me House of Llamas evolved into Cop Shoot Cop?
Strictly just the two band members, Todd Ashley and myself. Nothing to do with the music.
Oh, so the music was way different. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The House of Llamas, or Llamas, was all covers, cover band.
Ah, okay, okay. Because I remember Cop Shoot Cop being very original music.
Yeah, no, that came later. It came 4 or 5 years later, 4 years later.
And so after college... But you guys stuck together, you and
Todd. Yes, we moved to Brooklyn, and that's actually where the band was really formed, in Williamsburg. And yeah, we just played a couple gigs, got more followers, and did a South by Southwest.
Start touring,
yeah. Then,
I should ask you your influences on drums. Did you have any?
Sure. Keith Moon.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, great drummer.
I like King Crimson, Bill Bruford.
Wow, yeah. Didn't like the snare drum sound, but everything else.
You didn't? I love that.
The Hungry Seal. Oh, man. Yeah. Georgie used to crank his snare down tight because he said it was easier to play. He says, yeah, man, it throws the stick back.
Right.
So what, you want me to play a wet sandbag?
Yeah,
no, don't want to play wet sandbag, George. Look, you guys gave me some children here. Smother My Traces. I'm going to play it. Thank you.
right out of the open. Modesto. Is it boring like you thought it would be? Modesto. Not baloney like you thought it would be. Modesto. I worked a vacuum cleaner salesman job for men I later recognized in Glengarry Glen. I only sold one, she couldn't afford it. She wrote out the check and burst out sobbing. After work I hung out with my new church friends and traded stories. We decided I should quit, and then we laughed and carried on till morning. Next day I got a part-time job at the local guitar store in Modesto. It isn't boring like you thought it would be. Modesto, it's not baloney like you thought it would be. Modesto, isn't lonely like you thought it would be. I heard the perfect song at work today. Having asked if there were bands to see and spots to play, Jim said, hell yeah, and then he handed me a tape. What I heard in my Walkman headphones pacing by the speakers MPA was a beautiful.
Ice-formed caves, shaggy Neanderthals marked their place in time. On germinal trees in equatorial stands, embryonic giants carved beginnings. On Tasmanian flatlands, mud-clothed first men hacked rock, still soft. On Melanesian mountain peaks, barked heads were reared in pride and beauty. On steamy Java's cooling lava, stooped humans
raised stones to altar height. On newborn China's plain, mythless sons of Han acquired peaked gods with teak faces. On holy India's sacred soil, future gods carved, worshipped reflections. On Coptic Ethiopia's temple rock, pyramid builders tore volcanoes from earth. On death-loving Egypt's godly sands, living sacrifices carved naked power. On Sumeria's cliffs, speechless artists gouged messages to men yet uncreated. On glorious Assyria's earthen dens, art priests chipped figures of awe and hidden dimensions. Beauty. Green torso, original men painted glacial languages. On cold Arthur's snowy surface, leathery men raised totems in frozen air.
Shall raise our monuments of stones, of wood, of mud, of color, of labor, of belief, of being, of life, of love, of self, of man expressed in self-determined compliance or willful revolt, secure in this avowed truth that no man is our master, nor can any ever be at any time in time to come.
Let's up, but don't ever stop. I don't care.
Pedro Show, a chunk of music start off the Children, Smothered My Traces, Severatics out of Lyon, France, brand new album. 1977, he's called it. Maybe he wasn't even born yet, right? La Chante de Pretty. Mamalik, after that, Brand News, Vileness Slim. That reminds me of some, like, Resident thing, Vileness. I wonder. Pedro the Lion. See that Brand New. Modesto. I'm trimming through there. Tom Bloom, To My Son Parker, Sleep in the Next Room. Brother Tom, bitching stuff. DeSpitz with Chug. That's for Cindy and Austin. And finally, Breathing Shards, The Children. So, Mike, you go. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
All right, Mike. Well, I hate to do this, but I think the earliest musical recollection in terms of playing music was at a piano recital. So there you go, learning, being taught piano.
Yeah, well, I just say musical. Some cats come on the show, they told me they're inside their ma and hearing shit on the car radio. No,
Yeah,
so it can be anything. It don't have to be you learning, but you were learning. And what was it? Some kind of a recital?
Recital under my parents' watchful eye and playing classical music and Scott Joplin.
Piano.
Schumann and Scott Joplin. Yeah.
Piano. And how was the piano lesson experience for you?
I think that the downside of it was probably my parents' scrutiny, but the upside of it was I kind of found it kind of, I don't know, I think it was kind of a cool exercise for me, kind of investigating kind of the mathematics of it I think that process of learning notes and applying them to a keyboard was pretty instrumental, dare I say, no pun intended, I feel like it was a kind of an interesting journey for me, actually. I think it gave me something, kind of like where mathematics and imagination collide or something.
You know, I think the bad experience thing, it's probably has a lot to do with the teacher. I think it's a hard get. I don't think everybody can teach. There's a skill to it, I think. Yeah. And cats can, like the one you had, you know, making mathematics and notes and keyboard all work together, be appealing. That cat had some talent there. Especially with kids, yeah. Right? Because they don't really know what they want yet. I wonder if we ever do. But
that cat was actually an older woman, though, Mike. So yeah. she was, you could call her a cat, but she was an older woman. So, and then I had a violin teacher, too, after that.
Yeah, I wasn't there, so you have to learn me. And then a violin teacher. Yeah. Now, how would you compare the experiences?
I don't know. I remember being a little bit self-conscious about the squeak of the bow across the chords, for one thing. So I think that the violin was like a little more challenging in that there was a physicality to it that was different. And like working with a bow and strings is a lot different than working with a hammer inside a piano or whatever, using a pedal, and I feel like that was more meditative for me.
Yeah, but what I'm hip to is like you're not blaming the teacher, and that's what usually happens when I hear. See, they made it no fun. They, you know, it's bunk. Mm-hmm. They were belligerent, mean. What about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in like the school choir, but only to the extent that a lot of people. I think it was when in elementary school, it was almost compulsory for everybody to be in the choir. So I think that was more like an automatic. The singing came much later, actually, Mike.
Well, I ask because a lot of schools got rid of their arts departments. That's why Flea started Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. He went back to Fairfax High, and there was no where he learned trumpet. There was no more music program. That's why I asked that. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
It was either Pat Benatar's Crimes of Passion on cassette or The Police's Regatta de Blanc on cassette, I think.
Yeah, the medium doesn't matter. I mean, fuck, I had the 8 tracks, right? You send in a dime to Columbia House. If you don't send them back every month, you have to buy them, right? Remember that? So, in the first gig you saw?
That's a tough one. I didn't go to many gigs as a kid.
But your first one.
Yeah.
You can only have that once.
I feel like it was... it was in terms of a rock gig, I think it was something at Merriweather Post Pavilion.
Music is music. I ain't into that genre shit.
I think it was classical. I think it was probably symphony orchestra with my parents, I think, in D.C., probably.
Okay.
Like Kennedy Center or something like that.
Yeah. You know, music is music. I'm really against that genre stuff as I got less younger. And so, like I asked Phil, not graduating school, but, you know, in the afternoon, did you get in the basement band, bedroom band, garage band?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Not till much later.
Okay. How much later is later?
The first time I had a real band experience was with Jim and Phil, as a matter of fact. So much, much later. Like a real sustained band experience.
Okay. You know, Vincent painted only his last 10 years. Not everybody's got to be a little Mozart prodigy motherfuckers, you know? Right? So, you know what I mean? What was her? That lady who started painting really late in her life?
Grandma Moses.
Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, I couldn't think of her name. Thank you. But like, right, you know, no wine. What did Mr. Wells teach us? No wine before it's time. We'll sell no wine before it's. Right, Two-Buck Chuck, fucking Masson Brothers. I think that's the last work he did. Well, he's big. I met him up in Hollywood, man. He, not just wide, but tall, too. He's like barn door, man. Huge. It was Pink's, his hot dog place. He said, young man, I'd shake your hand, but I'm busy. He had chili dog in each hand. So that first experience you had with Phil and who else?
Jim Coleman, the guys we do this band with.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't with Todd. Okay. Okay.
No, much later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about that first meeting. How did it happen?
He kind of came on the heels of me having interviewed Cop Shoot Cop for a magazine many years before. I also do some music, you know, cultural criticism, some writing.
Yeah.
And kind of formed a bond with Jim initially. Jim for a little bit longer than Phil. We just kind of established a dialogue and had these conversations late at night at Max Fish or whatever the bar was, and out at shows and CBGBs at a cooler or what have you. And then over the years, we kind of came closer together. And then one day I proposed that Jim Covert come over to my apartment at 33rd and 3rd and come upstairs. And we would, I guess we were like on an 8-track or something. And we just started messing around and talking about, you know, starting a collaboration. And that's how it started. Phil wasn't actually in the room at the time.
Now, the first band kind of stuff, but did you ever do music in Man Alone mode?
Not outside of my piano and violin. Once I got out of high school,
yeah.
I kind of went into writing and other things, and I left the music behind until I started being a music critic and a DJ. I was a college radio DJ at KWUR at Washington University in St. Louis, and then I was writing about music in New York. And then eventually people were asking me to audition for their bands and so on and so forth, but it didn't come about until Jim and I and then Phil got together.
Okay, so you didn't have like this little private, you know, John Coltrane's pop played, he was a tailor, but at nighttime in his room, not even for the family, he would play clarinet, ukulele, just for himself. And I think this had a big effect on John Coltrane with his ability to prac for 12, 13 hours. You know, he'd probably think about his pop. He's doing it. That's why I asked that. Because, you know, music, like a lot of human things, there's the personal and then there's the, you know, with other cats, ensembles. So that's why I asked that. And sometimes they inform each other. Sometimes they're parallel universes. I don't think there's one size that fits all. So that first thing was without Phil. Did you guys start getting compositions going right away?
Yeah, I feel like I did. I feel like we did. You know, our music, as we've said in other interviews and whatever, has an improvisatory aspect. So I feel like it's always been about kind of bravely venturing into the unknown, kind of ripping the skin open and just kind of delving into whatever's there. And I think we started probably experimenting on that very first afternoon, you know, and then Jim probably gave me some homework to look at what we recorded. And then I started writing some lyrics.
Yeah. With improvise, it's always like, who's going to go first, right? Who went first?
Yeah, good question. Probably, I bet Jim did. I bet Jim played some sounds, and I started ripping vocally on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think the voice is an instrument, by the way. Some people, they like to divide it. I think it's probably maybe the first instrument. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 3, 2024, Dish Watt Peter Show. Mike and Phil from The Children. Whole time of hour two. April 3, 2024, it's second hour, Lot from Pedro Show.
I can't get out of the suit.
Can you hear them now? Can you hear them now? Can you hear them now? Can you hear them now?
Thank you. Carlyle, Lewis Carroll, James Joyce, Patti Smith, George Clooney, and the Soggy Bottom Boys. Virginia Woolf, Sylvia Plath, Gertrude Stein, and Salman Rushdie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Started the second hour off with Flyer Coleman. Can you hear them now? And El Cabal. This is Al Margolis out of Chester, New York with Walter Wright. Walter just moved. Where's he? He was living in, what's Jack Kerouac's town? Lowell. Yeah, he was in Lowell, Massachusetts. Once I played there. Initiated by Sylvie. And then Flyer Coleman again with Jesus. That's kind of put together word, huh? Jesus. J Suspect. But you got a. What's it called? When you give somebody a good knowledge. Enlighten. You got to enlighten me. To Flyer Coleman.
Filer.
Oh, Filer. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Shit.
Yeah, that's Jim. Jim Coleman's.
Oh, solo. Okay.
Yeah. Filer.
And Jim is one of the. Jim's one of the children, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in an airport. But, he's flying today.
That's why he's not doing the spiel with us. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so he had a project going before the band, before the children? This Filer? Yeah,
it's kind of ongoing, I believe.
Okay, parallel. Okay.
Yeah, parallel. And I've played on a few of his things. We've also toured. We did one tour under Filer.
And what's it like? Is it like a his kind of solo thing?
Yeah, it's mostly him solo. There's some of he does some vocals as well, and it's very it's great. Yeah, I think it's great music. And
but he's kind of the shot caller. Then you help him out.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He might ask for some things, or a lot of times I'll go. Or I used to, when he lived near me, I would go over to his house and we would just record various instruments and things, and you know, maybe nothing would come of it, but then he would use it later in other pieces that he's working on, just as a bed for a track or an accent, you know, just sample me.
And what about you, Mike? Are you ever part of Filer Coleman?
I haven't been yet. I think our main focus collaboratively has been the children.
Okay.
And of course, Mike, you know, Jim was of course a cop shoot cop guy as well. You probably know that he's in Human Impact.
Well, I'm trying to get the timeline straight, you know. So
yeah.
Filer is after Cop Shoot Cop, but it's before children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
For sure.
And they're ongoing concerns, of course. But not Cop Shoot Cop. You guys ain't going anymore, are you?
We're done.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We're done. Yeah.
Right. You take the L out of Lover and it's over.
Exactly.
I think Martha Davis said that much better. So, you know what, though? There's another group, Phil. Not to cut you out, Mike, but Swan, my buddy Larry's playing drums with Michael right now.
I know.
And, you know, he's from up the hill, Palos Verdes, Michael, but his family disowned him and shit, so I don't think he ever come. Yeah. Kind of, his dad was a dick, right? Anyway, you played Swans for a while, though, right?
Sorry?
You did Swans for a while, right?
Oh, yeah, 10 years.
Yeah. I think Larry's got your seat right now.
Yeah, Larry just rejoined. I mean, he was in it in 95 or 94.
And I've had Thor on the show, and he's been part of that.
Yeah.
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 Michael is some good drummer, man. And, but, man, I bet you them sets are pretty tough. Working man sets.
It's hard, yeah. It's a job.
Look, I want to play some... That's Far Enough. That's another project I know nothing about, but you guys can enlighten me to.
Oh, When Nora Bell was 10 or 11, at the age when she began to have preferences for radio stations to be listening to in the car, I instituted a sort of game to determine how long a given station would be on. We switched to her station, but once she couldn't name the performers of four successive songs, we changed to mine for a certain length of time. This was altered slightly when she had a friend along, with the two of them having to name three in a row without missing. On one excursion, Nora Bell and her friend Emma correctly accounted for the names of each successive act. A week or so later, she came to me and said, "You remember the band called Mailbox that Emma said was playing a song on the radio? Well, they're not a band." My first response was, "You mean they were put together by producers in the studio?" That was followed by a certain pride of fatherhood that she knew what I meant by the question, that she knew the difference between naturally occurring band formations and those created by calculated design and casting. "No," she said, reemphasizing, "Mailbox is not a band." Seeing a still puzzled look on me, she came clean with the simple, "Emma made it up so you wouldn't change the station."
Thank you. De Dios. Se apaga la luz de Trento, arde la casa de Dios, y el fuego, y el fuego se le parece a la masa.
to keep me from hating on me. I'm best friends with my bad tendencies. She got dizzy drinking. She got dizzy and closer to me.
Thank you. You bring down the mountain right up to my door, hungry in your bones like you've never been before. You bring down the mountain right up to my door, hungry in your bones like you've never been before. Like you've never been before.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music, that's Far Enough. It's a great name.
Yeah.
It could mean so fucking much. It's really good. Sorrow. And then we had David Greenberger after that with Tyson Rogers, my favorite lie. This is his autobiography number one. All these little spiels. He works at an old folks home, so he mixes it in with the experiences with those cats. The extract after that, out of Montreal, Gregarious Phase. Maybe my bass is on there. It's hard to tell. 11th movement from Winter Amnesica for Ingram Marshall. That's the Dream Thief's Sinophonic Neither Orchestra. Eugene, Oregon. Difficult music ensembles. Interesting stuff. Danny Llamas out of Spain with Luz de Trento. Swive, Bad Tendencies, Ben Salter out of Tasmania with Omerta. Not Sicily. Mountain Girl? I think so. MTNGRL. Just took out the vowels. The Sight of the Future, with the past sitting in a cast, pithing a birthday present. P-I-T-H-I-N-G. I've never heard it used that way. And then finally, That's Far Enough with Bear. So hit me to That's Far Enough, please.
Okay, so That's Far Enough was formed during the pandemic with my friend Robert Oliver, a.k.a. Bird Thrower. He was also in a band called Crash and Burn. It's just all files sent through the interwebs. And we have four releases on Bandcamp, and the first one was basically him sending me really rough guitar and vocals, and I would just drum with my keyboard. And just
you're talking like MIDI?
MIDI keyboard, yeah. But I sampled my own
actually,
kit,
you know, in the old days, piano used to be in the rhythms. Everything that was in a fucking horn was in the rhythm section because there's no amplifiers, right?
Right. So it was just... I just play really fast. I wouldn't even listen to the whole song, and I would just play.
Yeah.
And we would say, that's far enough.
It's so the project.
Everything's very quick and spontaneous, and also that's far enough goes to the pandemic, like, hey, you know, that's far enough. Stay back. You know?
And, you know, living in Brooklyn, there's so many music people, so many chances for collabs.
Right.
Right. You almost have to try hard not to do them.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I think any time you fucking play, you're investing in the next time you play. And then with different people, fuck. You know?
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 12th grade or that PhD or whatever. There is no graduate, man. Life's a fucking classroom if you're into it.
Exactly.
That's my philosophy. So, but this is just a recording project. This band's never done gigs?
Never done a gig. Never,
that's all right.
We've never been in the same room together as this band.
Sure. I've done a lot of stuff like that. I don't think that's wrong.
No, it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? There's just means, different ways of doing music and expressing yourself and sharing and stuff
and
like that.
We laugh 90% of the time. We're laughing, so that's...
That's success.
Pandemic,
yeah, that's success. What about children? I mean, Mike talked about how you got together. Have you guys played a gig?
Oh, yeah. We played...
Okay.
Well,
I don't know. Help me.
We played several.
Okay. Do you remember the first one?
I could probably speak to that.
Bring it, Mike.
Yes, that one.
The first one, so we did a series of, we've done a lot of shows sporadically over the years, Mike, but the first one that I can remember distinctly was a series, was actually in a pretty amazing setting. It was in a residency at this place called Monkey Town that you may or may not know. That was it started in a loft and then it became like a legitimate, like, commercial space. It was like this four-walled sort of, tasting menu style, kind of almost like a Japanese steakhouse where you sit on these low benches around in a square and there's screens behind everybody and they curated bands to play alongside video programming. And so we were in residency for, I guess, several days and we played a set and they like kind of geared the video presence, the video curation around the music and then they served a meal and it was pretty amazing. And so we did a few shows and we had all kinds of different collaborators come in. Guys from bands like Motherhead Bug and Cop Shoot Cop and Swans and whatever, and like people that have played with the bands. We've always had different collaborators come in and out. But that was the first set of shows, was at Monkey Town.
Monkey Town. And it's Manhattan or Brooklyn?
It was in Williamsburg, Brooklyn at the time. And then later they had to close down, and they eventually did these cubes all around the world, like internationally and in Denver and other places.
Denver.
Yeah.
I think the SA, what's it called, SAC is located there under the airport, right, with the horse with the fiery eye. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 3, 2024, Dish Bot Peter Show, Mike and Phil from The Children. Hold tight for hour three. April 3, 2024, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
now stop, that's far enough. That's far enough. The drummer plays like he's 10 feet tall. He swings the thunder cannonball. Sometimes songs come in flocks. A charm of finches, a Goldilocks. The singer tries to hit the note. He wipes out bad, and that's all she wrote. That's all she wrote. Please come closer, I know it's rough. Okay now, stop, that's far enough.
Thank you. doing last night when you rolled over? I turned out the light. Did you lay there for a very long time, wondering
why?
What did you end up doing that day? I woke up and you were riding away on a dark horse, only to return in the long shadows of the afternoon. In the long shadows of the afternoon.
For Pedro Show, start off third hour. That's far enough. With the tune, that's far enough. Was this the first one?
No, that's actually one of the last ones.
Okay. I was just, you know, eponymous, right? It's usually up front. Yeah, but what do I know? I'm just fucking. It's like when the power goes off at the bathhouse, you know, you're groping around. Is that you? Is that. After a while, it doesn't matter, right? Fuck it. Okay, here, this is hard for me to pronounce. Ika. Vicacti Coros featuring Corypheus David Della Croce with 100 Eye. Then we had Gate Monster, Gate Call of the Haunted Wrist Machine type. And this is 6 Credo times XDL Ghost in the Machine. What a fucking name. Agitator Tot. You guys gave me this Agitator Tot. Yoko Bono. There's a title. Then Hanazono's Distance by, no, that's the name of the prize. The song is Washoi. And finally, This Wilderness from, no, that's the name of the prize. Last Night is the name of the tune. So, first Agitator Time. Anybody?
What was that?
Agitator Time. This was part of the music that was sent to me. No, you guys have nothing to do with that?
Okay. Maybe it was Jib.
It might be Jim. If it's This Wilderness, that's Jim.
Okay, then This Wilderness, yeah, with Last Day. Okay, Jim. Yeah. So what it was she wanted to give me, you know, the children's made up of these three cats, and then they got other musics going on. Okay, I understand. And Jim, he's flying. Where's he headed? To Savannah?
Dubai? Is he going to Dubai now?
Whoa.
Okay. He's either coming back from Dubai or going to Dubai. I don't know.
Yeah, so this is probably some of Jim's production work that he does. You know, he's also in this band with Chris from Unsane and a guy from Daughters. It's called Human Impact. But he might be doing – this might not be related to that. It might just be his production work. He's doing some kind of corporate production stuff, engineering type stuff.
Yoko Bono? That sounds pretty corporate. Anyway, you guys being in when Jimmy ain't flying to Dubai, is he usually in New York City? I mean, and what about you, Phil? Are you living in Chicago, or are you just visiting? So how does the band get together? Is it a kind of virtual thing?
Now it's, kind of virtual, I guess. I mean, we haven't really played any music together in a long time. And hopefully with this latest release, we will start to get some gigs and rehearse again and write some new things.
And what, are they going to come to Chicago or are you going to New York?
That's yet to be determined.
Okay. I mean,
we could do it in Savannah, Georgia, where... Jim lives because he has a house.
And probably more econo.
Might be easier to go there.
Yeah.
We're talking about some shows and a tour in Europe later this year, potentially, Mike. And we're talking about New York shows and Savannah. You know, any of these cities are an option. We'd be happy to come to L.A. for that matter. But I think we just have to figure out what works logistically for everybody.
Yeah, well, that's what my question was about. The internet, yeah, you can spread lies and hate, but you can also trade files, and that's far enough happens, right? And I've been on tons of stuff with people I've never even met, and I'm very proud. I'm glad that they happened. But then if you're going to do tours and stuff, you do got to get in person, maybe.
Yeah, well, we love the in person, so we love. You know, the thing about the children is it's all about the collaboration. It's about the physical presence, about the dialogue that's happening on stage, and some of that's improvisatory, Mike. So we love to be together and converge and like let some magic happen. So
what do you mean during the gigs? You're not always playing. You have like conversations.
Well, you know, I mean dialogue in the sense of it could be conversations or it could be just a musical conversation, but it's like it's the presence. It's the energy that's being exchanged. You know,
it ain't Banner.
But it could be Banner, but the Banner is just the beginning. You know, you know how it is.
Yeah. The spiel, the shtick,
The
shtick. You know, the wheel out the fucking the dog and the pony, right?
Yeah.
I think that Scotty called it the dog and pony show. Anyway, here's Phil. Here's your thing. And by the way, I went to the Bandcamp page that this tune is on because the spelling was wrong, and I love this album. This is all cymbals and stuff, right? It's not synthesizers.
What is this?
Yaha? Toril's theme. Toril's theme.
Oh, yeah.
That's, let's listen.
get excited about. Hey, there's a one dream that's always the same. Into a path he chanced upon. She didn't break any promises, but she was right on the brink. And if you ever see her, she'll tell you what she thinks. If she's still in the mountains, I don't know where she lives.
Man, the hair sharp the wind blows, or how gently it hums. I look in my window like I've been shot down by glass. I'm looking in my window like there's somebody coming at last. Waiting on
got for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Started chunk off with Phil Puello doing Torlstein, Kanye, Ogman. Gareth Littered after that, You Sure Ain't Mine Now. Gold Dime with Denise. Fisarum, Television Town. And finally, Human Impact with November. So, yeah, hip us to this music you made with Torlstein, Phil.
It was music for my wedding, a Hindu wedding. It was two years ago. And each piece on this CD or release that I did is corresponds to a different section of the wedding ceremony. It was a long ceremony, great ceremony, outside, and just different songs for different sections of the wedding, different parts of the wedding. And there's all these different layers of ceremony during the Hindu wedding, I guess.
I was reading a bunch of John Coltrane biographies, and they talked about it because he got into India music. And they got music for different times of the day.
Exactly, yeah. So I just kind of, I read what was supposed to go on during those different, the sequence of the wedding, and I would just make music to that. And I would confirm with the Mirage how long each section would approximately be. So I wrote the music in response to that. And Jim Coleman was he mixed some of that live during the wedding. So he would, as things were changing and evolving during the ceremony, he would mix in different songs.
Ah, very dynamic.
And so Toral's theme is when she comes out and does her procession down onto the mandap, which is the stage where I was waiting for her. It was really beautiful.
Whoa.
Michael was there as well.
Yep. Wow, great. And what about this human, what this project named Human Impact? Is this a Jim thing?
It's a Jim thing. It was a me thing and a Chris Pravdika from Swans.
Yeah.
And Chris Spencer from The Unsane. And we started the band, and Chris and I left, and it's still going on. I think that song you played was from the version that Chris Pravdika and I were still involved with the band. Okay. But now I think they're, like Michael said, that they got guitarist or drummer from Daughters. I don't know.
I think it might be the drummer. Maybe it's, it might be the drummer.
I think it's the drummer from Daughters and another bassist. And I believe they just recorded another record, and I have yet to hear it. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah. Well, if people want to find out about the children on the internet, where would they go?
Best place is to go to the Bandcamp page. The children. So Chandra Shukla has a really cool label that you might know, Mike. It's called Erotox Decodings. A lot of amazing artists on that. Faust, Anjazen Noiba, and all kinds of side projects. And the Bandcamp page is attached to Erotox's page as well. We're also on Apple Music and on Spotify.
Why don't you give the URL to that Bandcamp page?
Say again? Send you the URL?
Well, no, say it right over here so the listeners can hear.
I'm not even sure what the URL is. I have to look it up. I'm sorry.
It's probably thechildren.bandcamp.com. Is that what it is?
That might be right. I'm going to try to look it up right now while we're talking.
It would be good because if people want to find out, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, so I found it. It's thechildrenband.bandcamp.com.
Okay, the children band people. .bandcamp.com. Okay. And and the plan is later in the year you're talking about a Europe tour.
That's the tentative plan, and there's also some New York talk as well, and hopefully other places, you know, like LA and wherever else, but we're starting there.
Well, look. Let me put out the invite here. You guys want to come back on or with your other projects? No problem. Just let Watt know. I love what you're doing, man. Let that freak flag fly.
We'd love that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Much respect. People, April 3, 2024, edition Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.